Thank you, Jesus. We just simply say thank you for your word, for speaking to us and filling us with your truth. Because we receive this, we say thank you and we just give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. You be glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, in everything you be glorified. In this time we have this morning, in the sharing of your word, in everything you be glorified. For we are ready to receive the richness and the fullness of all you have for us. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Man, that's good. Before we get started, is today your birthday, Chris? You didn't sound really happy about that. Happy birthday. We're going to pray for Chris. Does anybody else have a birthday that has just recently or is coming up in the next couple of days? All the prayer goes for you, Chris. Yes. Lord, we thank you and praise you for Chris. We thank you for what you've called her to be, for the woman of God you've created her to be. We thank you for the things that you have for her in the days, the weeks, the months, and the years to come. And we just speak into her just the fullness of all that you have, that she's able to do and accomplish everything that you've laid forth for her to do. We lift her up. We speak joy to her day. Thank you, Jesus. And we just speak that the year to come is filled with all of your favor and all of your blessing, and that she revels in all of it. We say thank you for it and thank you for Chris. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I also want to point out Zach. Now, Al, Chris, and Zach. There's Al and Zach play praise and worship for another church. In fact, when they leave here, they go and they're doing praise and worship. And Zach, this week, they're having, is it just special services you guys have like one? Revival this week. What day did you get to preach? Zach got to preach the Word of God on Friday. That is, yes, that is exciting. What'd you preach on? What'd you preach on, or do you remember? That's being a city on a hill, though. I mean, that's being a light where he had the opportunity. And I respect and I appreciate God using this young man. Jesus, I thank you that you just continue to grow and develop in this man that you have and for all that you have for him in the years to come. We thank you that the word that he shared, it does not return void at all. And all that it hears to hear, they are stronger in you because they heard it. And we give you all the glory in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, let's get to the word this morning. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. If you remember last week, we were talking about enlarging our tents. In other words, enlarging our level of expectation for the things that Jesus has for us. Enlarging our expectation for his victory, for his power, for his authority in our lives. And as we prayed for Alice this morning, that's an example of it. We're enlarging our tents. We're possessing more and more. In fact, we'll see later on this morning, part of that is taking back things that the enemy has stolen from us. This is part of the enlarging of our tents. So let's look at that verse specifically from Isaiah 54, verse 2. In the New King James Version, it says, "Enlarge the place of your tent." That's you. "And let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes." This means that we are to open up space for Jesus to do more things, greater things in our lives. This means that we're to lengthen those tent cords. It means that we're to move those stakes out further so we have room, we create room for Jesus to move supernaturally through our lives and in our lives. This is possessing, taking possession of what he has. This is possessing more of what he has for us in this life. Now, last week we also talked a little bit, we touched on the fact that the Israelites possessed the promised land little by little. And that's our model. We are to enlarge our tents. We're to make room for the promises of Jesus Christ. Every promise is there in the Word. We're to make room for those promises. And then we possess those promises. And as we possess those promises, we establish those promises in our lives. We stand on them and we establish those promises in our lives. And then we stretch ourselves out. We move those tent stakes out a little further to possess more. So it's that continual process of possessing more and more of his promises. We also saw that when it talks about the tent is a reference to the tent of meeting. That is where God dwelled with man before the temple that was in Jerusalem. Well, today, you and I, we are the tent of meeting. We're the tent of meeting. The Holy Spirit He dwells with us. His presence dwells with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So we enlarge our tents, and we enlarge our tents by our growing in the knowledge, in the knowing of Jesus. And then we saw last week that Peter talked about that a little bit. And he said that in that growing, in that knowing of Jesus, that brings us entry into the eternal kingdom. And that meant more than just spending eternity with Jesus Christ, although that certainly is a glorious part of it. But that means the kingdom of God. It means seeing. That's when we see those spiritual realm realities taking place, those spiritual realm promises and realities displacing the natural realities of this life in this flesh. The more that we enlarge our tents and possess those promises, the more that we do that, the more we're going to see the kingdom of God in our lives and through us. Now, I talk about that a lot, and I've mentioned this before, but I want to make sure we all understand what I'm talking about. Because in these natural bodies, our natural senses, our sight, our hearing, our taste, our smell, I probably forgot one, you know, all the senses that we have, all those senses, they just perceive just these things in this realm. It perceives these natural things in this natural realm. And because we perceive these things, and that's all that we can perceive with these senses cannot perceive the things of the spiritual realm. And so our tendency is to think that what we see taking place in this natural realm is the final truth. It's the final reality. Look, it is a reality. If you've got financial problems, I'm not telling you it's not real. Those things are real. It is reality. But it's not the greatest reality. It's part of this natural reality. This natural reality is not the greater reality because this is all going to be gone. The greater reality is the spiritual realm reality. The greatest reality is all the things that Jesus has already done for us and has already established for us in the kingdom, in the spiritual realm. Everything that you need, from your finances to your health to relationships, whatever your need is, Jesus has already seen it. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus already made preparations. You don't have to ask Jesus to do something for you. You don't have to say, Jesus, get up off the throne and bring healing for me, because he's seated at the throne. The work is already done. So what we're talking about is taking those spiritual realm realities, everything that you need already done and established in that greater reality, the spiritual reality. We're talking about bringing those things from the spiritual reality into this natural reality. So those promises and every good thing that he has displaces these natural realm realities. That doesn't say that those things aren't real. You know, if you're sick, I'm not saying that you're not sick. That's a reality. But it's a lesser reality. The greater reality is you're healed in Jesus Christ. That's the truth we bring from the spiritual reality to displace the natural reality. This is what we're talking about, or this is what I'm trying to express when I say enlarge your tents. Because as we move those tent stakes out, we're possessing more of his promises. I know I've given you this illustration before, but it's my favorite illustration of this. Pastor Moses Vey told us this story, this dream that he had. He had a dream that he was in heaven. He's walking down the street in heaven, and Jesus is walking with him. And they're walking down the street, and there's huge warehouses on both sides of the street that they're walking on. And as they're walking, Moses says to Jesus, "What are all these warehouses?" And Jesus said, "Let me show you." So they opened up the door of one warehouse, and he looked inside. And Moses said when he looked in that warehouse, he could just see things stacked and crated from the floor to the ceiling. And as far back as he could see, it's all just stacked with stuff. This is not Moses. This is mine. When Moses told the story, you guys remember in that first Indiana Jones movie? Yeah, you remember at the very end when they're hiding the Ark of the Covenant and they put it in that big government building and all you can see, it looks like acres and acres of just things stacked? That's what I'm picturing that Moses saw when he was looking in that warehouse. And Jesus showed him all that, and Jesus said, "This is one person's warehouse, one person. All of their needs are already done and established for them. They're stored here in the spiritual realm. They're waiting for this individual to receive delivery. Everything you need is already done. It's done in the spiritual realm. That's the greater reality. And we want those things to displace the natural realm reality. This is enlarging our tents. This is what we should be striving for. This is what we should be believing for. And it's a little by little process. Now, sometimes you can take big steps, but it's step by step. Because every time that I possess something from the spiritual realm, every time I take the Word of God and I believe it and I know it and I apply it in my life, I establish that truth in my life, now I've stretched out my tent stakes a little bit more. And once it's established, I want to kick those out a little bit further and keep possessing more and more in this life of all those things that He's established for us. Now, we ended last week, and I asked the question, so what does it look like to enlarge the tent? What does it look like to receive, make room for all of those promises of Jesus? And I left with this verse. This is Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until the kingdom of until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Let's look at that first part first. What Jesus is saying is that amongst those born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. So think about that statement. He's saying that Abraham, Moses, David, Elijah, Josiah, Hezekiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, these are all great men of God who did amazing things in the Lord. And yet John the Baptist is greater than all of these. But you are not just born of a woman, as were they. I mean, think about it. We are a new creation in Jesus Christ. You are born again in Him. You are born of the Spirit. That means that you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ in His kingdom. A joint heir in everything that's in His kingdom. You are of the kingdom of God. And we just read, even he who is the least in the kingdom is greater than John and all of the rest of these. This is the level of expectation that we should have. This is why it was important what I said earlier this morning before we went to praise and worship. This is not just teaching so that we can get some kind of a degree to hang on the wall. This is teaching to understand the Word of God so that we can apply that Word of God to our lives. And He wants to see us possess everything that He's established for us. He wants Jack's warehouse to be empty because Jack has received everything that God has established for him. That's what He wants for each one of us. Remember, we are partakers in His nature, which has overcome everything in the world. Enlarge your tent. Think of this. Make room for the kingdom of God, all those spiritual realm realities. Make room for the kingdom of God to come from the Spirit to the natural through you. This is enlarging the tent. Now let's look at that second verse we looked at. So this would be Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We read that, and it says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. What? How can God's kingdom, how can heaven suffer violence? Well, to better understand that, we can look at that in some other verses and get a clearer picture of what that's saying. For example, if you would read that phrase in the New Century Bible, it says, the kingdom of heaven has been going forward in strength. The kingdom of heaven has been, and continues, it implies continues, the kingdom of God has been going forward in strength. This is what we're talking about. This is moving forward. It's up to us to operate in the strength of Jesus Christ and to move and advance the kingdom forward, to advance the kingdom of God in our lives and in others. So when we prayed for Alice, I didn't have you pray for Alice, and I didn't bring that up so you would say, oh, poor Alice. No, I said that so that we could get angry and some righteous indignation against the devil and tell him, take your hands off the child of God. This is the enlarging of our tent. this is what we're supposed to do. John the Baptist brought a Holy Spirit-led teaching. He brought Holy Spirit teaching like never before. And so it drew men to his kingdom with repentant hearts. Read about those who received the message of John the Baptist. Read about them because they were pressing in for more of God. They were pressing in. They would not be denied the word of God that was coming through the message of John the Baptist. Despite the hardships, they would not be denied. It meant going out away, a long ways, into the wilderness, into the very desert to hear his word. It meant facing recriminations from your family and from the religious leaders because you were listening to the things that John was saying. Well, likewise, the kingdom of God advances today through you and I, pressing in for more of that spiritual realm, of enlarging the tent. Enlarge your tent. You've already entered into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. Now, bring his kingdom into this earth. Make room. Bring the kingdom of God into this realm. And then advance his kingdom by possessing the promises that he has in this tent of meeting where Jesus meets with us by the Holy Spirit. This is enlarging our tents. Amen? Forcefully advance the kingdom. You and I. Forcefully advance the kingdom of God by standing on and speaking the word in faith. When's the last time you stood and spoke the word of God in faith over a situation? Think about what's taken place in your life just this past week. Think about the things that came and that were either threw you off balance or surprised you or was something that was just a negative that you had to deal with. How did you deal with it? Because too often what we do is we just accept things and try to work our way through it. The onslaught of this natural world comes against us, and we just try to stand against it and withstand. No, this is what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to be the ones that are advancing the kingdom of God. So what we should have been doing is we should have been standing and speaking the word of God in faith over that situation, over whatever it is, just like what we did with Alice. This is what's expected of us. This is what he wants us to do. And then if you look at the very last couple of words that were in verse number 12, it says, take it. In other words, take it by force. That's what the word says. Take it by force. Those words can also be read as seize it. This means that we are to openly, not secretly, we are to openly be taking something by force. Quite literally, this is what it means literally. It means to rob someone of their property. Whom are we robbing of their property? Yes, we're robbing Satan, your adversary, who has taken ownership of the things in this world because man sinned. But what we are doing is we are forcefully pressing in. We're forcefully pressing in, and we're laying hold of him, taking back those things that are ours in Jesus Christ. So take back from the deceiver everything he's stolen from you, from your health to your finances, to your relationships, to the liberties that you have in Jesus, even to your peace and your emotions. You have the victories in Jesus Christ. Take them and take them forcefully. So we don't allow Satan any room in our lives. We don't allow him any room. Why? Because we're taking these tents, this flesh, this is the tent of the Holy Spirit. We're taking these tents and we are expanding, enlarging the place of these tents, giving no room to him because we're filling it up with the promises of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, so let's go back to Isaiah chapter 54, verse number 2. And I want to go through this word by word, break it down word by word, because I want us to understand this in a vernacular that we can both understand and apply to our lives. So let's look at that again. Isaiah 54, verse 2. And then Joshua, if you can, leave this up for, leave it up in the background as I go through all these. Leave it up until I give you another verse to go to, so people can keep looking at this. So again, Isaiah chapter 54, verse number 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. So let's take that first phrase. Enlarge the place of your tent. If we look at that word for word, enlarge, we've already seen that enlarge means to open up space. It means to make room for. So we're to open up space for the kingdom of God in our lives, and we're to make room for Jesus to move supernaturally through our lives. This is what it's talking about. The next, and I love this, the place. This means, literally, this means where God has chosen to place his name. He placed his name in you. He chose to put his name in the tent, in the temple of you. But as you're going to see in a lot of these phrases and words that we look at, there's a deeper, when you look at the word in the Hebrew, there's a deeper element of meaning that's there. And this is what else that means. When it says the place, it means a place at the table to eat. That's what it means. So you carry the name of Jesus Christ, and that has given you a place at his table. You carry the name of Jesus Christ, so you have a place at the king's table where you are to eat his word, which is what was already spoken to us this morning by God through the word that was given. We are to eat his word as we enlarge our tent. This is what he calls us to do. So that's enlarge and the place. Your tent, we've seen that tent again is just a reference to the tent of meeting. It's where the presence of God is. It's the Holy Spirit that is in you and I while we dwell in this tent of meeting, this place which is the temple of God. So, I say summarize this. You know, when you say summarize, I don't know what the actual meaning is, but we always say, if somebody gives a big lecture, we say summarize, and so we condense it down. To me, the sum of things is the totality. You add things, so when I say summarize, this is not going to be shorter. I'm going to take all of those things that we just looked at from that phrase, and here's my summation of what that says from those verses. Open space, making room for the kingdom of God, the work of the Holy Spirit through this temple where God has placed his name. He's made a place for you at his table, so eat the word, and in so doing, make room, enlarge your tent. That's what that phrase means for you. Now, let's look at the next phrase. And let them stretch out the curtain of your dwelling. Let them stretch out. In context, stretching is what takes place at the setting up of the temple or of the tent or of the tabernacle. So the stretching is the setting up of something. But again, there's a fuller and a richer meaning that is here. This also means that as we are stretched, the act of stretching actually is turning the heart and the mind of someone in a specific, certain direction. So, when this tent was set up, when this tent was established as a new creation in Jesus Christ, my mind, my heart, my soul was turned to the things of Jesus Christ. Now, understanding that, let's look at the next word, curtain. This word curtain in the Old Testament is used to describe heaven itself being stretched out like a curtain. It also means, and this is not going to make sense right now, but it will when we put the whole thing together. It also means or implies the wealth and the riches of a nation. So that's curtain. Your final phrase in this is your dwelling. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Dwelling indicates the dwelling place of the Lord. But this word that we see, the word that is actually made into this phrase, your dwelling, that Hebrew word is very specific. And so it means the dwelling place of the Lord, but only in reference to the tent of meeting. This phrase is never, ever, ever used in describing the dwelling place of the Lord in the physical building of the temple in Jerusalem. This whole phrase, when we look at Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2, this whole thing is talking about exclusively what takes place in you, the tent of the meeting. So, let's summarize that phrase. Again, my summarization is going to be more words. Summarization for me is verbose. Jesus turned your heart to his kingdom as he established his residence in the temple of you, where his Holy Spirit dwells. Now, stretch out the kingdom of God through you like a curtain, taking the wealth and the riches of his word into the world through the tent of you. Amen? The next phrase that we see is, do not spare. This means, because of all of these things, do not withhold anything. But again, that word also is very specific. And it also means to not restrain one's speech. Don't restrain what's being spoken. We are to not hold back. Hold nothing back in reserve. I just got done watching this lecture series. It's like a 36 lectures on the great battles of history. Here's one of the common threads you see. He went through 36 different battles in history. Common thread. You always see that the victor was almost always one who had a reserve, and he knew when to employ his reserve and where in the line to put the reserve. Continually, you see the reserve is what the victor always winds up using wisely. But what this is saying is, you have no reserve. Hold nothing back in reserve. You give everything. You be bold. As you speak the word of God, be bold in speaking the word of God. Have no reservations. Even when we're here gathered together. You know, if the Holy Spirit says something, speak up and yell and say, yes, amen, do something. This is, have no reserve. When you speak the word of God, have no reserve. Be bold in what we say. All right, so I'm going to read the rest of this. I'm going to do the summation at the end of all this, but we'll take in a couple of phrases. So the next phrase is lengthen your cords. The word lengthen is a verb which implies action. We're supposed to be active in enlarging our tent. This is not a passive activity. This is something we have to be aware of, thoughtful of, and determined to do. We have to decide that we want to enlarge our tent. It takes action by spending time in the Word and reading the Word, and then applying the Word that we know, and that's what establishing the Word is. You apply it, you learn it, and it becomes a part of who you are. So there's an action that's involved. But again, in the Hebrew, there's a greater depth to what this word is. And it means to draw something out. Specifically, it means to draw something out in reference to time. We are supposed to draw out in length of time. This takes us right back to that whole understanding that this enlarging of the tent is a process. It's the little by little enlarging. It's the possessing as we move forward in Him. Cord. Lengthen your cord. Cord is the rope, or it's the tent strings that give strength and support to the tent. Again, in the Hebrew, that word cord also means bowstring. So your strength and your support, the strength that you have in Jesus Christ as you enlarge your tent, that strength that you have in Jesus Christ as you make the determination to enlarge your tent, the strength you have is actually spoken of all the way back in the first book of the Bible. Listen to this in Genesis. This is Genesis chapter 49, verse number 24. But his bow remained strong and steady, rested in the strength that does not fail him. For the arms of his hands were made strong and active by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. By the name of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Man, that's talking about Jesus. Now, there's another verse that actually ties That, there's a verse that ties it, we just saw, oops, there's a verse that's, I'm messing myself up. There's a verse that ties lengthen your cords to the next part of that verse, which says, and strengthen your stakes. This verse is from Zechariah 10:4. And this is in the Amplified Bible. Out of him, Judah, shall come forth the cornerstone. Out of him, the tent peg. Out of him, the battle bow. Every ruler should proceed from him. So we see once again the reference to the bow, calling it the battle bow. But now we add to that the imagery of the stake or the tent peg. I absolutely love this. Stake and tent peg also means, by definition, the nail. Jesus is the cornerstone that's being talked about in this verse. And it's through his nails of victory on the cross that we have the strength of the battle bow, that word of God, within us. We are to arm ourselves in the word of God, the battle bow. We arm ourselves in the word of God, and God actually places, I don't have time to show you this, we talked about this about 2 years ago, when you do this, God actually places his hand on top of your hand, and he empowers the word of God through you. This is the strength that we have. I love the way all this just ties together. All this imagery just ties together in that picture of the tent that we are and how we enlarge that tent. So I skipped this, I inverted this a little bit, but the other word that we see in Isaiah chapter 54 is strengthen. Strengthen means to be courageous and to overpower. Be courageous and overpower. This is a phrase, or this is verbiage, that is used in the Old Testament very commonly. It's a charge that God gives over and over again as he tells people to be strong and of good courage. In fact, it's with those words that God sends Joshua into the promised land to take possession of the promised land. We are to be courageous as we enlarge our tents. Did you guys get excited about this? Okay. Because I'm excited, but this is, again, the word of God that we don't just learn, it's forced to apply in our lives. The moment we walk out of here, we need to apply this, start enlarging our tents. So here's the summary of all that last part. Todd's large summation. It's about to get larger. Be active in the little by little enlarging of your tent. Your strength and support as you do so comes from the bowstring of the word made steady and strong in your hands by the rock of Israel, Jesus. Be courageous as you overpower the things of this life in Jesus. Let me say that again. Be courageous as you overpower the things of this life in Jesus. As you possess the promises of Jesus and enlarge your tent, making room for his kingdom to enter through you and to advance through you. Amen? All right, so you ready for all that put together? I'm going to give you the composite. So this is the really summary of all of those summations. I'm going to put it all together in one thing. This is enlarging your tent. And again, the verse is Isaiah. Think about the verse, Isaiah 54:2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. So, here is, and you can read along, the large summary. Open space, making room for the kingdom of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, through the temple of you, where God has placed his name. He's made a place for you at his table, so eat the word he's given you. He's turned your heart to his kingdom as he established residence in you where his Holy Spirit dwells. Now allow the kingdom of heaven to be stretched out through you like a curtain, taking the wealth and the riches of his word to the world. Hold nothing in reserve. Be bold, speaking his word into this life. Be active in the little by little enlarging of your tent. The strength and support of your tent as you enlarge it comes from the bowstring of the word, which is made steady and strong in your hands by the rock of Israel, Jesus. Be encouraged as you overpower the things of this life, as you possess the promises of Jesus, and enlarge your tent, making room for his kingdom to enter through you and to advance through you. That is what that verse is saying. That's the fullness of what we can, it's for us to understand, to know, and to apply as we enlarge our tents. Yes. Donna will do that. If you've never given your email address and you want that, there's cards in the seat backs in front of you. Just write down your name and your email address, and Donna will get that to you this week also. Yes. Happy to do that. Pardon me? Oh, yes. Okay, so there's one final verse that I want to look at this morning as we conclude all of this. And this is from Matthew 16, verse 18. Kind of sounds familiar to what we just saw from Matthew 11, verses 11 and 12. It's the same kind of attitude. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against you. Now, indulge me for just a second, because for those of you that are going to go to Israel, one of the places we're going to be is exactly where, well, it's in the city, where Peter spoke these words, where Peter professed Jesus as the Christ through the revealed truth of the Father. I love that moment. And it's powerful to see that you're in that area and you can picture where Jesus and the disciples and Peter were walking as all that transpired. But that was the sidebar. So what Jesus is saying to Peter here, Jesus is saying that Peter, you are a part of the rock of Jesus. Because Peter means a sliver, or it means a small part of a rock that is part of a larger rock, referring to Jesus Christ. So Jesus is saying that it's upon the faith in this rock of Jesus, upon that faith, I will build my church. And then Jesus goes on to make that great statement where he says, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, I grew up learning my first couple of years, whenever someone talked about that verse, I was always taught that this means we are safe in Jesus, which we are. But I was taught that this verse means that we're safe in Jesus and that we're protected behind his walls as though the enemy's onslaught is coming against us, but we're safe behind the protective walls of Jesus. But that's not what that verse says, is it? No, what it says is against your faith in Jesus, the gates of hell cannot stand. So this is not saying that we are that the walls and the gates are not protecting us. It's not that we're somehow holding back the onslaught of the enemy. That's not what it's saying at all. This is not a defensive statement. This is an offensive statement. This is saying that against you and Jesus, the gates of Hades cannot prevail. This is saying that as you enlarge your tent and you possess his promises, the gates of Hades cannot stand. We are the ones that are the aggressors. We are the ones that are taking back. The enemy is the one that has nothing to hide behind because his gates can't stand against you in faith in Jesus Christ. So, let us stretch out that curtain of the kingdom of God. Stretch it out and be courageous and allow the kingdom of God to enter through you and to advance through you, because we are overtakers in Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's praise him together. Thank you, Jesus.